It's time for another Internet Advisor Show podcast. Since 1998, we've been helping computer users get on the Internet, get around it, and get over the problems they encounter there. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour weekly radio program heard on WJR 760 AM in Detroit since 1998 and across the state of Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor podcast.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome aboard the Internet Advisor. Hi, Foster Brown, co-host of the program, Gary Baker. Ed Riddell and Shane Hamlin in studio for our program today. We're going to think about taking a vacation. As a matter of fact, a nowcation, a brand new way of looking at it. A little later on this hour, we're going to talk with some U of M students who have been involved in building this really wonderful, bottom-rate, just get out there and put your toes in the sand kind of an application. That's just one of the things we're going to be talking about today on the Internet Advisor. I tell you, the inspiration for our theme this week came from the weather we've been having, which has been sincerely cold. We finally have winter here in Michigan. It is hit, and it has stayed cold. It's been a little bit sloppy as well. Lots of snow in some parts of our fair state. But it made me think of much warmer places. And Gary Baker here is in studio with us, as well as Ed Riddell and Shane Hamlin. And Gary, you were the one who inspired us to take a look at a special vacation site.
Well, yeah, we're going to talk to one of the founders of it. And This is a site that they put up during a hackathon. A very short period of time, you know, just 24 hours or so. I'm not sure exactly how long. I'm sure it had to be longer because the site's wonderful. But they're college kids, right? And they know that college kids procrastinate, and all of a sudden they want to go now.
Yeah.
And they put up a site with all sorts of really
great deals.
Really,
if you're ready
deals.
To,
if you want to go now,
yeah, exactly. It.
So it's
now.
Soon,
actually, I saw someone there for the middle of. We'll talk more about that when we get there. But Eddie, since you're an old hacker, I wanted to talk about this hackathon that they're going to do. It they have done now.
I'm not an old hacker.
Oh, you are. You are. No, that's not bad. Not necessarily.
Yes, yes, yes.
Which it means that you
squirrel.
A white hat.
Shane, is part of your shady past, no, pardon me, part of your technical experiences, have you been a hacker? Could you say you've been a hacker?
I have.
All right,
I've
and how would you things. Define that? How would you define hacker?
Someone, a tinker.
That's it.
Yeah.
See, somebody who likes to tinker.
And sometimes it's for bad, and sometimes it's for good. And
but basically, it's like Ed, when Ed was about four, he took apart the alarm clock, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Good for bad. That's what I do.
Or like me, you took that.
Where'd all these spare parts come from?
you took that metal fingernail file, and you said, what happens if I put this into the socket?
Yeah.
I found out.
Yeah, well, you know,
it's, me, unfortunately.
It's the kids that take apart a toaster and a telephone and maybe, you know, the lawnmower and put it all back together and shoot it off. You know,
that's exactly it. But you know, one of the things, the reason I bring it up is because I think when you hear hacker, a lot of times it has a very negative connotation. But as you said, Shane, I think a good way of saying it is just a tinkerer, somebody who likes to tinker with code, which are the building blocks, if you will. They're the Lego blocks in computers.
And we should ask Jamie, too, because he is one.
Yes, we will talk about that when we get them on. Guys, let's take a look back at this this last week and see some of the things that struck your fancy before. By the way, what we're going to do in a little bit, folks, is we're going to have a little roundtable discussion ourselves here on the future buying decisions people are going to make in terms of computers. Laptop or desktop or tablet. We'll talk about it a little bit. But what kind of things have come up this week for you guys that have caught your attention as you've watched tech news this week?
Well, I will tell you what caught my attention yesterday was Justin, as I've been telling you, has, you know, we purchased, he had a gravity event with his old computer, right? So he dropped it, and so he got a new computer, and the new computer's an Ultrabook, So it's really thin.
Very light.
And it has Windows 8 on it. It's touch screen. Mm. And all the kids that have Macs that were teasing him that he didn't have a Mac now want to trade their Macs for his Samsung Series 5 Ultrabook,
yeah.
Right?
Very sweet book.
And he loves it. And so do all the kids that have come over to play with it. One thing, and he started out, he really liked the touch screen.
Yep.
Yesterday we were working on he's on his Eagle Scout project. He's putting up a site on a crowdfunding site, mm-hmm. Which we could talk about at some point. We should talk about it in the next few weeks or so, mm-hmm. once he gets it up. But he was using the mouse. Well, actually, not his mouse. He was using his pad.
Yeah, the touchpad where you can just touch.
Touchpad instead of the touchscreen. Right. I'm saying, why are you doing that? And he goes, some things are just easier this way.
Mm-hmm. Aren't they? Eddie, and you and I were talking about that.
And he's always trying to find the easy way, which is when I used to do that, my dad said, you're always trying to do it the easy way. Why don't you just dig in and just do it?
Oh.
And so with him, after hearing that from my dad for years, with him, I'm encouraging him, yeah, go find the easy way. Right.
That's interesting.
You have to get the work done. But
now, it's interesting you mentioned that there are certain things that you do on a screen that touch doesn't really do because it's too big. I was saying to you, remember, Eddie, when we were talking on this coming in, that the images on the screen sometimes are so small. Shane, have you worked with touchscreens much?
Yeah, I'm starting to work more and more with touchscreens, it seems. Everything's starting to pop up. Oh, that's touchscreen. But yeah, you're right. If you got big fingers,
Or it depends what you're trying to manipulate, like a photo, or you're trying to just hit that one pixel on the screen, or that one cell in a spreadsheet, and you got
very
small cells.
Yes, very
it's very difficult to select.
So what he's actually, I don't know how difficult it is once you get the hang of it. He just says it's just harder to put his finger way up there instead of just down on the keypad. That's his point. But I know that you can take your finger and you can put it somewhere where maybe it's a little off. Mm-hmm. Just roll your finger to where you're supposed to go,
right.
And you can watch the cursor move
right
exactly. On the screen.
Right.
So I'm not sure that a big finger is any different than a small finger. Once you start to roll your finger, because you can watch it on the screen and figure out where
the cursor goes. I had an interesting experience this week.
But I don't have big fingers.
I was helping somebody. I got gorilla hands. I was helping somebody set up a couple of laptops that had Windows 8 on it.
Mm-hmm.
And by setting up, I mean kind of cleaning out, and we by no means got rid of all the crud that was in there. But one of the things I noticed was that one was a touchscreen, and the other was you could use only the mouse. Now, I'm used to using a mouse with Windows 8. And I found that on the touchscreen, gross movements. I mean, large movements, like dragging a screen off the page to mm-hmm. close it, mm-hmm. or moving left or right, or things like that.
He always reaches up to do that.
Yeah, exactly. But some of the finer stuff, you really want that mouse movement. So I found it's like a combination of both. Yeah. It's not an either or. Although when I went into Micro Center, I don't know, Eddie, if you saw that when you went in today, but in Micro Center, they got a ton of Windows 8 laptops in there. But my understanding from some articles I read is not that many of them are touch screens, and they're getting stuck with a lot of inventory. Hey, back in just a minute to talk about whether to tablet or not to tablet. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Shane Hamlin in studios today. Cal's got the day off. Very often we get email, and we've had calls coming quite frequently, guys, about the next purchase that people are going to make in terms of computers. And we know we have a lot of people who have used computers for a long time. We get people calling about, you know, I'm still running XP or Vista or whatever else it is. But I'm talking about somebody who's got a modest amount of money, let's say between $400 and $500, that they want to put into a machine. Now, here's my question to you. We have often been asked, should I get a tablet or should I go for a laptop or should I go for a desktop? How do you advise people? What questions should they be asking themselves in order to make a wise buying decision?
Well, I think the desktop should be kind of a separate. Desktop people we know right away. That's a desktop guy. That's what he wants. It's the big question is laptop versus tablet.
So how do you know it's a desktop? Because I have people say, well, I'm going to get a desktop. And I ask them why, and they said, well, because I had a desktop. And they have no idea why they would want a laptop till they get one, and they go, Oh, now I get it.
Do you think it's partially because people feel like I'm, literally, it's physically smaller, I'm getting less? Do you think that they have that kind of impression?
I don't know.
Well, I think they want to sit there with a nice big screen.
Okay,
but,
so big screen.
You know, when I explained to them that you can just plug in a larger monitor to a laptop and they have the two best of both worlds.
Right.
You know.
What were you going to say, Eddie?
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. A lot of people have made investment in peripherals with keyboards. Maybe they got a wireless keyboard and mouse, and they, you know, a year and a half ago, they splurged on a nice 21-inch or 22-inch monitor for their desktop, and they're going to go replace it. And like Shane said, you can use those on most laptops as well.
It's not like a 20. I mean, I sell 24-inch monitors for $110.
Yeah.
Wow. No kidding.
People that need a desktop are sysadmins, people in business that
gamers
that need it, and certainly gamers, right? You certainly have to have you would want a big one.
We were talking about tinkerers before, people who like to tinker, who like to get into the guts of it and put in a special graphic card or put in whatever. You want stick with your desktop.
Yeah, they want RAID.
Yeah, and almost every single one that I know that needs a desktop has a laptop also.
Yeah.
Right. So now let's go to the laptop versus
the tablet.
Right. Okay. Is that some more interesting discussion?
For me, and especially I'm thinking college kids and even other, seniors even, for me, laptop, because you have so many additional things you could plug into it. You have USB ports, you have SD slots for additional memory, you could throw your camera cards into it, you have wired and wireless connections sometimes, the power adapters. I mean, there's so many more. You have a DVD or CD trays on most of them.
And you're going to need to share documents with your teammates because almost everything is team oriented today in college, and you're going to have to write term papers, and you're just not going
to. Okay, let's shift from grandma's. Let's shift to, if you will, out of the college scene where you can understand people have special applications they got to run, etc. But I'm wondering, Shane, that the people you come walking into your store, or some of the friends that we know who don't want all that muscle, would it be better for them just to go to a tablet?
Well, are you going to be able to plug your camera in there and download your photos?
In some cases, you can do it wirelessly.
Yeah, or the tablets are getting more and more loaded up with stuff. You know, USB and camera card slots and all this stuff. So
Android tablets.
Yeah, I mean,
and Windows tablets.
Let me tell you why I asked the question this way.
Yeah.
I have a sneaking suspicion from what I'm reading that less is more for most people when they're approaching computers.
A tablet is a secondary device to me.
Ah, see, now that's just it. For us, yes, the way we use computers, I agree with you. But I don't think that's the case anymore for a lot of people who want to use it for email, who want to use it for watching a YouTube video or a TV program, Netflix or whatever.
And you know what? Somebody might get a laptop or get a tablet and be happy with it because they don't know what they could have gotten. And I'll give you a great example.
You're right.
There's a lot of times you're going to want to attach something that came in an email that you pulled off into a folder that you saved. Now, you can do that kind of on a tablet, certain tablets anyway. And then but you want to be able to go back. You want to search it quickly. You want to be able to highlight. You want to be able to cut and paste out of that email into something else, forward it on, do some other things with it, and it's just not there yet.
I don't know. Think of, for instance, this week we had an interesting exchange of emails about web apps, the Microsoft's web apps, where you can go into the cloud and access Excel and Word, and I think it's PowerPoint. Isn't it the third one? Plus OneNote, I think, is also up there. So not for heavy work, but you could compose a paper for class up there. You could save it to SkyDrive or to Google
Drive,
or whatever.
How are you going to type?
That's a good question. I mean, a lot of these tablets come with attachable, the Bluetooth keyboard.
And you can buy for $15 or $20, you can buy a Bluetooth keyboard.
Sure. But I'm not finding, to be honest with you, I'm not seeing many people use that stuff yet.
I mean, not either.
Really?
I mean, it's a sales tool for salespeople. Hey, you can do documents and you can do PowerPoint.
It's a little bit better than if you didn't have one.
Yeah, I mean,
but it's not a keyboard.
And it's a good story. I recently had a customer of mine, and they were an older couple. I sold them a nice Samsung tablet, really nice one. And they came back. And not nothing on me, but they bought a laptop because that darn tablet is too confusing.
What was confusing about it?
I guess just the whole touch, you know, and the guy was with his pen because he couldn't get the more sensitive with his finger, so he was using the pen that came with it. He's like, I'm going like this, and he's going all over the place, tapping everything. He goes, this darn thing just doesn't work, and I need a laptop. Mm-hmm. So
see, I have a sense that tablets are really going to be the edge of the future. I've been watching some things that have been coming out of the Mobile World Congress, and combined with smartphones, I'll just tell you about one I saw, which is really fascinating. I think it's called, and the Asus made it, and I think it's called a phablet. I forget. But anyway, the smartphone is the heart. That's the guts. Mm-hmm. It's got the processor on it. It has an i3, mm-hmm. I think. It has a pretty hefty processor on it and some good processing space on it. You plug that into the back of a screen, a pretty decent-sized screen, when you get home, and it then the operating system is on the phone, but it appears to you on that screen.
Yeah, just using the screen as a display.
And it looks like that's the direction we're moving in, with smaller devices that you can bring home and dock into something that will give you a bigger screen to work on.
Well, we're certainly moving toward that. It's just a matter of when we're going to get there. And we're not there yet, because I agree with you that we're moving that direction. We're just not there yet.
Certainly not.
And eventually, people will, Justin's kids, my kids' kids, will kind of go, Dad, really? You used a keyboard? I saw one of those in a museum. Right? Why would you ever do that?
There are so many fascinating input devices.
And that goes with the dock, too. I mean, when you have a dock, when you get there and dock, that's one product. One particular item, whether it be Android or iPad, I think when it really takes off is when the wireless, you just walk in the house and it recognizes you're there.
It's
already synced into the main house computer.
Yep.
I think that we are getting much, much closer to that.
Yeah.
What I see with Windows 8, you mentioned Justin having a Windows 8 machine, and I've been working on them. One of the things I find the genius of the Windows 8 layout, as well as the Windows Phone layout, is its simplicity. And I see this in Ginny, my wife, and maybe you guys have other people you know of who don't want to be computer savvy. All they want is the darn thing to work. And the less buttons they have to push, the better.
Mm-hmm.
It's when all of a sudden I got to push this, and then I got to push that, and then I got to push. So that's why I think that tablets seem to me, or a touchscreen of some kind at least, that's the place to kind of move towards if you're going to be really making the computers accessible to more people.
Yeah. But you have so many people now that have legacy devices laying around their house. How am I going to print with my tablet? I have a printer that's only a year and a half old. I'm not going to be able to print with it because I have to buy a brand spanking new printer, that may or may not support wireless.
A lot of wireless. Well, nowadays, we're talking about companion devices. Wireless printers, I think, are becoming almost an essential.
But you have to have special software to be able to print from.
And good luck trying that with an iPad. Oh my goodness.
Well, you can. You can.
You
can.
There's a wireless
print server for those things.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to pack up. This is going to be an ongoing discussion.
Yeah.
Get ready. We're going to take a little vacation. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, Shane Hamlin. Guys, it's tough outside. I like winter personally, but I mean, this has been kind of going on for a while and it's getting kind of hard. Makes you think about, sandy beaches and palm trees and warm breezes coming in off of whatever particular body of water is warm that you'd like to be at. Well, and Shane, you just came back from there, didn't you?
I think I'm still tan from that.
You haven't bleached out entirely yet.
No.
Cool. With us right now, we have a young man, Jamie Suprasong, who is, I believe, a freshman at the University of Michigan. He and some of his buddies got together to develop a vacation website that is just out of sight. Jamie, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hello, Foster.
Glad to have you with us, sir.
Glad to be on the show and talk about navigation.
Definitely. I mean, just hearing your accent, I'm going to guess that you're from down under?
No, England, actually.
England, okay. Well, they're just as cold and miserable over there as we are. Maybe that was part of the inspiration. Tell us how your site, which is called nowcation.com, and we have a link on our homepage. Just a quick note, it doesn't work on Internet Explorer. We'll talk about more of that later on. Jamie, how did you guys at U of M come up with this website?
Well, basically, the idea started with one of our co-founders, Raj Veer. He was kind of just sitting around bored, and he wanted to go somewhere for the weekend, but he didn't really have a destination in mind. Mm-hmm. And he just kind of thought to himself, man, it'd be really great if this site existed where I know I want to get away. I know I want to get away sometime soon, and I'm willing to spend a minimal amount of money. So I wish that some sort of website existed so that we could just travel somewhere for the weekend.
And part of the key to this, Jamie, is just get away. Not necessarily to a specific place, although you give a number of alternatives, but basically you got to be willing to kind of pack your bags pretty quickly, right?
Exactly. So all of the flights that we feature on our site, they all fly out within the same month, and all of the trips last for about 10 days tops, although the average is probably more about 3 or 4.
Okay. Now, go ahead, Ken.
So, Jamie, how you guys actually put up the site, or most of it, during a hackathon, right?
Yes, that's right.
So tell us what a hackathon is. Yeah, tell us what that is, and then tell us how you did it.
All right, so a hackathon, it's usually somewhere between 24 and 48 hours long. This one, MHACS, was 36 hours long. And basically the idea is you have this time and you form a team of at most 4 people and you're just told to create something. So we developed this website over the course of 36 hours, and we've made some improvements since then, but for the most part it still has the same layout, same 50 origin structure, offering 9 flights.
So instead of Expedia, which invested couple million dollars on their site, you did this in 36 hours with 4 guys?
Yeah, 36 hours. currently operating at no cost, although we have some really exciting plans for the future.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is fascinating. So, guys, folks, when you hear this, this is a group of young folks that got together. There's a picture that was in the Ann Arbor News and that we linked to off of our homepage of this massive room with a whole bunch of men. I mean, I guess there were some women. I didn't look closely. There were some women in there as well?
Yeah, there were some women there.
Probably a whole bunch of energy drinks.
I was going to say, a lot of Red Bull, right?
And a lot of Hot Pockets, yeah.
Tons and tons of Red Bull.
So how do you divide something like this up? I mean, how do you go about it?
You basically just, you talk it out, come up with an idea, and then you just kind of dive right in for it.
So you guys had not had an experience putting together a travel website like this before. Had any of you had an experience putting up a website at all?
Yeah. So the other 3, they've had a lot of web development experience.
Okay.
So they've all created multiple websites before. A lot of them do it freelance as well.
Well, I got you. So how do you find the trips or the trip packages that you put up there?
So we go ahead and there's a variety of public RSS feeds that we go ahead and search for travel flights, and then we basically just establish what the average price is for a flight, and then we look for flights well below that average.
So you do the research in the background to come up with it. Now, how many are there you normally on the site?
So how many deals?
Yeah, how many deals normally show up there?
Okay, so for each origin, we currently offer 9 deals.
For each, I see. And what you do, now I'm looking at the top of your page. By the way, folks, you go to now, N-O-W-cation, and like in vacation, nowcation.com. And by the way, just a warning again, if you're on Internet Explorer, you can't see it, but on Chrome, Firefox, and Safari, am I right, Jimmy?
Yes, that's right.
On all those.
Internet Explorer doesn't support Isotope, which is the layout system that we use.
Okay.
So, is there a possibility? Nothing we can really do about that.
Is there a possibility of that being fixed? I mean, or added to it sometime soon?
Wrong person to ask.
It's not. It's not really anything that we can control.
Gotcha.
So,
gotcha. Okay.
Microsoft
I have
should
no
support. Maybe Microsoft should support that standard.
Yeah. There you go. All right. So when I go to the page, what you can do then, folks, if you go onto the page, is you set the getaway deals from, and then you put a site in, right?
Yes, that's right. You choose where you're from, not where you're going.
That's exactly it. So where you are departing from determines the kind of deals that you can see, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so right now, because you can see where I'm at, it says DTW, which are the symbols for the Detroit Metropolitan Airport here. And then from there, we've got flights to Atlanta for 6 nights, Fort Lauderdale 7, West Palm Beach. Have you guys ever gone on these flights, you know, just to kind of test them out?
No, the site's only been up for a month, so we haven't yet had a chance to actually...
Their spring break is just now,
but
right?
We have gotten some feedback from people saying, oh, we've used your site to find a getaway and book through it.
Great. So when the people find the getaway on your site and they click off, do you do the booking then or do they take them off to another place?
Currently, it takes them off to Expedia.
Expedia, which, by the way, folks, if you've traveled at all, Gary, you do a lot of traveling, I'm going to guess. You can, matter of fact, my daughter just booked a trip for me to Seattle through Expedia. We did it there, and then she transferred the information over to Delta, the airlines.
So. Although I found the last time I was booking a flight going out to the Denver shootout for lacrosse for my son this summer, and I just went to Spirit, and it was cheaper. I went to Expedia first, and Spirit came up and was a very cheap price, so I thought, oh, I should just do this. And then I thought, no, let me try Priceline. Priceline came up the same price. I said, let me try a couple others. And I couldn't use this site. Actually, it was just before I found out about this site. And I couldn't use it anyway, by the way, but because it's set up differently because this is not till June. But I went to Spirit directly and got it at $20 cheaper than for a ticket. Than I did at Priceline.
But, Jamie, basically your site, people, like for instance, as you said, identify a place they're coming from, Boston or Detroit or wherever, and then based on that, you guys have come up with a recipe of different kind of packages that you offer, and then that bounces you through to Expedia when you pick one, right?
Yes, that's the current model. Although, hopefully, we'll soon be able to completely rebuild our back end and implement Sabre Web Services, GDS, which will allow for us to basically, we'll support every airport out there instead of just 50 origins. And we'll be able to allow for in-site booking, or we can just redirect you to the airline's website itself.
That's really cool.
And have all the fields pre-populated, all those like special codes that give you the best deals already inputted.
Oh, that's really sweet.
And what I like about this...
The airline and then through us.
Yeah. Good.
And what I enjoy about the site is the spur of the moment of it, and it's set up in tiles, and all the information you need, or most of the information you need, is right there. A nice picture, what the dollar amount is, and how many days, and the location. It's just, it really, it's not as confusing. You can look at it and you can dream. You just look at it and you're going, only $128? Oh, my gosh.
Well, and for those people listening to us in the car, and you're not in front of your computer, and you haven't gone to the site yet... Dallas-Fort Worth for 8 nights, if I'm leaving on 319 for $168 for 8 nights, really?
You see those numbers and you're going, I got to look into this.
But you got to leave on 319, right? Yeah. And that's the key. It's now. It's on that date.
That's fine.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
Currently our site updates every 2 hours. So that does cause a slight problem sometimes with tickets running out, because usually these prices are only available for anywhere from 1 to at most 3 seats on the flight.
Gotcha.
But hopefully in the future, once we can establish a revenue stream, we'll be able to support updating much quicker.
That's really
Jamie,
cool.
The most important question. Do all of you have jobs for the summer?
Yeah, I believe so.
I was just thinking, contact us at the bottom if you want to get a hold of one of these four guys. Wow, what a deal. Are they smart?
Yeah.
It's a great resume.
I'm still in the job hunt search. I'm trying to intern in France this summer.
Thanks so much, Jamie, for being with us. We really appreciate it. Back in just a moment, folks.
Thank you.
Once again as well, welcome back to the Internet Advisor. And just a reminder for you about a few things here. Go to internetadvisor.net and check our show notes out. And that way you can see some of the links that we're giving you. For instance, with Jamie Superstong and his buddies, the Nowcation site is there. And just again, once more, a reminder for you, Internet Explorer doesn't work. You can't see it on that for a number of technical reasons. So if you use Firefox, Chrome, Opera, Safari, you'll be able to see it.
So,
and most tablets, too. Most tablets will
support this. Tablets, yes.
So Jamie and I talked just after the segment, and they're going to take and put a link up, or not a link, but an announcement, in that header where you can see it with Internet Explorer. And it just says, can't see the site with Internet Explorer, go to Firefox or one of the other browsers.
Okay, so it'll be going to do that. But just to, so you're aware of that kind of thing. And we link in there, as I said, to elements that are on our program throughout the week. And when we put the podcast up, we've got it there as well.
I took the laptop into there because they're running Internet Explorer in there. Oh. And they're all like, $128 Fort Myers.
We're talking about the staff that's behind the glass here. We talk about Andy Nichols, Jason Iometta, and Rich Lazinski.
It's Scott Iometta.
Scott, pardon me. I keep on saying Jason. I'm sorry, Scott. I keep renaming you. Every week I rename you.
He's Justin next week. Justin.
Yeah. So the big problem will be they're going now, and we're going to have to finish the show without an engineer. But
that's right.
The seats are just spinning.
All right. Anyway, thank you guys for those. So they're now drooling over vacations, and they're young enough to kind of pack a bag and be gone within a day.
Yes,
Mike Brennan is normally on with us at this time doing the Michigan Tech News, which is going to become and is a regular part of our program every week, where he talks about some headlines, both of national and state headlines in technology. Unfortunately, and we want to send our deepest sympathies to Mike at the passing of his father this past week. His dad died, and so Mike can't be with us today. But we have a number of headlines from the site that I wanted to pass on to you. Once again, every week we'll have these headlines for you. Mike will be delivering them normally, but you can see the full headlines by going to internetadvisor.net and linking off to michigantechnews.com.
And I saw the obituary for his father, and his father's a highly decorated veteran.
Oh, wow.
Very highly decorated, and thank you for all the veterans out there.
Yes.
But, it's too bad we lost him.
Yep. So, Mike, since you can't be here, I'll try my best to fill in talking about some of the things that are going on in the news. This is nationally as well as locally in technology. The first point is out of San Francisco, where a state study has announced that state-sponsored hackers are stealing 1 terabyte of data every day from the United States. And it's a new study that says that state-sponsored overseas hackers are stealing, as I said, as much as a terabyte of data per day from governments, businesses, military, and academic facilities. So it's not just the military. It's all these other places.
And then I hear, China, of course, saying just the opposite, that the United States is beating on their doors, stealing all their data, and knocking down their sites.
We don't do that.
Yeah.
We don't think so.
Don't want none China has anyway. Yeah.
This one, by the way, they identified that this is being done with a network of 500 computers. They're doing this. So it's like it's a botnet out there that's been harvesting this information. You can see then why the President of the United States and the State of the Union address would talk about this. This is a serious
issue.
So
in the olden days, when you knew somebody was stealing information like this, you fed them misinformation, but I don't know if that's happening.
I mean, a terabyte of data is enough to enough to contain the entire Library of Congress.
Oh, easily. And there's all sorts of information in there, as you said, from infrastructure to business technologies that are being stolen, et cetera. So, and as you said, it is an international sport that's been going on. Our second item is that Comerica Bank's Michigan Economic Activity Index saw a bounce up in December. It went up 1.7%. And that is good news for all of us that Michigan is getting a bit of a perk here, a bit of a bounce here. Smartphones, this is kind of interesting as well in terms of where technology is going. The 2012 milestone for U.S. smartphone in the United States markets, it gained 50% market penetration. Incredible how much is going on now. It was a milestone year. And it now enters a late majority state of technology adoption curve, which means, it's now we're going to begin to see a little bit of a tail off. You don't have quite as much of an increase.
Once grandma gets a smartphone, it's time to change.
Yeah, I was just going to say my wife's on one.
It used to be cool to have a smartphone, but now
we're not. Now it's becoming like
every day.
Not everybody's going to have one. But pretty close.
Another thing that's coming out is the Michigan Strategic Fund on Wednesday approved $6 million for Michigan Translational Research and Commercialization Programs. Basically, there are 8 businesses in the state, 8 companies that are going to benefit from this. So once again, a sign of economic activity here, and that Michigan is getting behind and supporting its very own businesses. And along those lines, one of the other stories that they're following on Michigan Tech News is that Michigan retailers themselves are pretty optimistic about sales growth in the state of Michigan. After a positive January, 80% of Michigan retailers expect to increase their sales this year, the most by mid-single digits. And that was according to the Michigan Retail Index. Those are some of the news items that you will find at michtechnews.com. And again, if you go to internetadvisor.net and look at that, it's near the end of the first hour of our program. Mike Brennan normally will be here giving those headlines and some more details. But those are some of the things going on in Michigan and around the country.
And he's been doing that for over a decade.
A long time.
When we first met him, he was the business and tech reporter for the Detroit Free Press.
So absolutely.
Had a good run there. And a number of other technology-oriented news at that point, newspapers out west and in other places. So it's a great writer. You'll enjoy the writing as well.
Some statistics. This get more statistical. Say liars figure, figures lie. But in this particular case, I don't know. This comes to from a company called Net Applications, and what they're talking about here is the market share for all of the operating systems that are out there right now. And you know what a beating Microsoft has been taking with Windows 8, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, they're dead and gone, and, you know, it's all owned by these other operating systems. Here's the real deal, folks.
Yeah, but don't believe that.
Here's the real deal. Overall, Windows now accounts for 92% of all usage. Now, that's across the board, you know, with enterprise as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. All business. And that's the amount of traffic that is being generated by computers with those operating systems
exactly.
on.
Exactly. So while we see, like, the Google platform.
Chrome.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Chrome is picking up a lot with the smartphones.
Mm-hmm. It is.
A tremendous amount.
Right. You got Ubuntu.
Ubuntu is coming up. But he'll be giving
you they you know, put it all in perspective. All of that, including Macs, are the other 8%.
Now, so get that. 7.2%, almost all of the rest, is for Macs, okay,
right,
which is up a little bit. 1.2% is for Linux. Which is why I find it kind of ironic that this whole business, a lot of hullabaloo about the Linux operating system for phones being put out. And I'm thinking, okay, for a few nerds, that'll be really fun. But
well, I think they'll change it for the phones, but besides that, it's, you know, they're coming late to the party. And Linux is a freeware
and Windows,
program, right?
And beyond an all fairness, an Windows source phone platform is also coming late to the platform.
Absolutely.
But Windows operating systems in general are still... the top five OSs for Windows are Windows 7, 45%.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting.
Yep.
XP, 39%.
Still?
Yeah.
Vista, 5% still around.
Those 5% should be moving.
And then Windows 8 is 2.7%. Now get this, Mac, I wish Cal was here. Mac OS X 10.8, I'm on that mountain lion, 2.6% of all operating systems out there.
But 8 isn't doing as bad. I mean, the three-month period, they're right up there with par
right
with 7.
Yep.
Well,
yeah,
and nobody expects them to be completely 7. Mm-hmm. 7's different. They're different operating systems for different reasons.
Just kind of putting things into perspective. Okay, folks, hey, our phone lines are open. People are starting to get ready to call in. That's good, because right now it's your turn. The next hour is all yours at 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0WJR. Get on the line, get in line, and we'll get to your questions as soon as we can.
You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show. If you want to see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage at internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll also find past podcasts, our toolkit full of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, and other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage or enter our forums and place your question there. You can also friend us on Facebook. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor Show podcast.
Welcome back. It's our favorite part of the program as the Internet Advisors, when we get to talk with you about the concerns you have with your program. Got a brand new computer, can't quite figure out the Windows 8. Maybe you have been getting in touch with your printer at home, or you just can't figure out how your email got so messed up. We'll do our very best to answer you. Here's the number, 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0WJR. Give us a call right now. Welcome aboard, folks. We're ready in here.
Show is in a show.
I just walked back in. I don't know what's going on.
Smile in my voice. Oh, my gosh. That was hilarious.
You're sorry right. There is a show within the show, and it is very fortunate that there are no cameras or running at the time. We don't think, at least, that we know of. All right, phone number again to get your calls in here live now is 800-859-0957. And let's jump right into things. And let's say hello to Kathy from Bingham Farms. Kathy, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hi.
Hello.
My question is, I all of a sudden heard you talking about Windows 8. And
yes.
I thought, oh, they're the ones I can ask.
Very good.
I'm currently on a laptop that's a compact, and I looked to see because I don't remember how old it is, mm-hmm. but my Windows XP that's on it is 2002 with Service Pack 3. So I'm thinking the computer's probably, you know, 2002
or 2003. It's a tad old, yes, yeah. Almost
and,
a decade.
Intel Celeron M
processor. Yes.
504 megabytes of RAM.
Boy, are you going to have fun with the new one.
Oh,
and I keep
my.
Into it, okay? Yeah. So, obviously, it looks like I keep things for long because out
That's
of
right.
my whole bunches of kids, some of them say, just buy the cheapest thing you can and buy another one often. And that'll keep you updated.
That's one way.
That's my philosophy.
Saying, don't
That's
spend
what
any
I do.
Money adding RAM to this thing. Just get a different computer.
Oh, yeah.
Well, my son finally got tired of the whole argument and just bought me a computer.
Good for him.
What he bought? A laptop or what was he buying?
A laptop.
Okay.
And it's an Acer, mm-hmm. and it's got Windows 8.
Okay.
And the thing is, I never plugged it in and I never used it because I'm one of these that has to research, and make sure this is the one I want type
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Well, I sort of used up my 90 days research.
I was going to say,
oh,
I think you used up your
90 days. I got to return this thing. I'm not going to have any time to try it out. And in the meantime, people are saying, if you're going to have Windows 8 at all,
yeah.
you really should have a touch screen because
yes.
it's built for it.
Yeah.
Well, it's another $250 to move up to the Acer that's got the touch screen. Mm-hmm. That also buys you the i5 processor
oh,
instead
yeah.
of the i3.
Yeah.
And it also buys you an extra, it moves up the hard drive from a 500 to a 750 gigabyte
okay.
hard drive.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's worth the extra $250. I know that my old computer, we had to blow Vista off because
mm-hmm.
I didn't want to have to use Vista, and that's
yeah.
why I have Windows on there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm afraid with Windows 8, is that one going to be another one that people are going, oh, no, you've got Windows 8?
Well,
and especially if you pay yeah. the extra money and get the touchscreen computer and then find out, no, I didn't want Windows 8.
No, I think that just to calm your fears a little bit, Windows 8, it's interesting, we had a conversation before, we think they misnamed it. It shouldn't, because the people's head is like, oh, well, this is the next step after Windows. No, it's a completely different different game, completely.
Uh-huh.
But it represents, I think,
the
significant,
future.
The future.
Yeah.
And you will not go wrong, I don't think, in going a touchscreen on this. Now, guys, please,
so,
you got a machine right now, just to make sure I'm understanding you, Kat. You have a machine right now that was given to you, right?
Bought for her.
Bought
the one
for
that
you.
Was bought for me, the Acer.
Yes.
I was up against the return date with today, so yesterday I returned it.
Returned it, good.
Oh,
good
oh,
for
okay.
you.
Okay,
excellent.
Good. That helps us now.
So
okay.
then what I would do, so you priced them yesterday, and there mm-hmm. were 250 more.
Yeah.
So here's what I did. First of all, there almost every retail place you look, you're able to get $100 off
mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they're trying to clear out some inventory, getting ready for Windows Blue.
Right, this Costco touchscreen is 150 off of what the retail suggested. Retail.
So then it was 100. So it's still 250
so it's
more.
Currently selling for 700 was listed at 850.
Okay.
The one I returned was a $50 off bargain. So the 500 that it should have sold for was really 450.
Okay.
So I'm looking at paying the difference between the 450 up to the 700.
Shane, what are you? I'm sorry, Gary. Were you finished?
Yeah, I. You know, I bought. Now, I went to the i3 for my son because he's not going to know the difference.
Right.
And
neither are you, by the way, Kathy.
Yeah, and you would probably
and most everybody.
Know the difference.
Coming from a Celeron.
Yes.
And that's what he was doing. He came from an older machine, and I didn't want to buy him a real expensive one because he's already had one gravity event. But I did want him to be very proud of what he had. I got the Samsung Series 5 Ultrabook. Very thin, very cool, touch screen, I paid before they started announcing the $100, although I think I did get the $100 off. I paid $618 for it.
Now,
And he loves it. And I would get the touchscreen if I were you. $250 seems like a lot for a touchscreen, but more and more of the apps are going to be designed to use touchscreen. He uses all of his Windows. We have Windows 365. So instead of buying a new Windows program, which you'll, if you're, I'm sorry, I keep saying Windows, Office 365.
My Office is 2003.
Yeah, yeah. So you're going to want to upgrade. Yeah. You're not going to want to go to Office 2013. You're going to want to go to Office 365, all touchscreen.
Yeah. Right. And it's, you only make monthly payments, right?
Right. And we make one annual payment for five of us of $99.
So $99
Shane,
for a year.
I'm interested, Shane, let's hear from you, because you also run into this in your store.
Well, I mean, touchscreen, with Windows 8, obviously, touchscreen is great.
Yep.
It's like, built for it. Like Gary and Ed said, it's the way it's going to go. So you might as well get used to it. Bite the bullet now and get used to it.
Yep.
I was a little surprised at the price that she said.
I am too.
There's so many deals out there. HP's got great deals. We were just talking about it before the show started. HP's got great deals on touch. Asus has some great deals on touch. The Samsung. I mean, there's lots of choices out there. Right. So that $700.
Go to the manufacturer's website and find those prices, or are you shopping at?
Kathy, let's do
you
this.
Just go to Costco. They have a Lenovo Touch for $599.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a break for just a second, Kathy. I want to come back to you to wrap up, because I think you're asking a question a lot of other people want to hear the answer to as well. Back in just a moment. Welcome back. Kathy from Bingham Farms has asked us a question about buying a Windows 8 laptop. And the question she asked was, you know, should I go ahead and get something that's a touchscreen? And generally speaking, we're saying yes. If you're going to Windows 8, you'll be able to take advantage not only of a lot of the stuff that's there now, but much that's being developed for it. So the bottom line question she's asking right now, guys, is what is your advice on where to go to shop for the best price for the best equipment? So let's, Eddie, I'm going to start with you. Where would you go? Just kind of quickly. We'll go around the horn here.
You know, I've always used a website for the last 5 years. It's probably outdated, but it still works. It's called salescircular.com, and it's a national advertisements for the weekend sales. And I select Michigan, and then it shows me all the ads like Best Buy, Walmart, Office Max, Staples, and it breaks it down. I could select laptops, flat screen TVs.
Okay.
So salescircular.com.
Now, that is with somebody who knows exactly what they want. And then you're going to go from that point and look for the
shopping
and look for the best deals.
Yeah, and then those are online deals, right?
Those are online deals.
Those are like stores, real stores, sales circulars.
Okay, sales circulars for that. Gary, just kind of quickly from your point of view.
I'll tell you what, I bought the last few big items from Best Buy.
Okay.
And I got better pricing than I could online.
Okay.
I chopped online, and then I went to Best Buy to see the technical feel and realized it was cheaper. I just bought it.
Okay. Cool. Shane, how about you?
I would, you know, being that what I do for a living, I would
You'd recommend your own store?
No. I would just recommend you find a local mom-and-pop, family-owned computer store near your house.
Right.
Go and meet the guys, talk to them. A lot of times when customers come into me, I don't necessarily sell them something in my store. I actually become their personal shopper. I'll go and find the greatest deals for them, what's going on. And if I order it and bring it into the store, I won't make money on that deal, but that's not important to me. It's that I've gained like a new friend. I've helped them find a new computer.
And they come back to you because everybody's going to need somebody you at some point.
And that's what I would recommend.
Be their tech guy, and that's what they need.
That's what they need.
Okay.
Kathy?
Where's your store?
we're in Sterling Heights.
Okay.
And go ahead. Give them the name of the store.
It's Comtech Services. Comtech Services in Sterling Heights on Shaner.
Okay. Now, having heard those opinions, there's just keep this in mind. Cheapest is not always the best, okay?
Right.
Keep that in mind. You want to make sure you know what you're shopping for, so you do a little homework of your own. Wherever you go, do the homework. I would again recommend somebody where you're dealing face-to-face with a person, and if possible, don't work with a commissioned salesperson. The reason I say that is, my experience has been they will try to upsell you on stuff you don't really need. And especially if you don't know a lot about the computers, you can get to that place. When you buy from a smaller place, and you're out in Bingham Farms on the west side of the city, you may find a place out there on Telegraph. If you find some place, talk with your friends. Find some place where you can go and deal face-to-face with them. I think in the end, you'll be much more satisfied with your purpose. So I hope those kind of things have given you at least some parameters, not just for you, Kathy, but for all the rest of the folks living, listening to us out there. We don't want to sell one particular place, but take those things into mind when you're looking.
I mean, people have a car, an auto guy. They need a tech guy that they can go to for these kind of questions. Right. I mean, I know they have us on Saturday. But, you know, for the rest of the days, they need someone they can call for their tech questions.
Absolutely. Yeah, you all have your favorite mechanic or a place you go to get your tires or whatever it may be. Same thing here.
Yes.
Same thing really applies, the confidence you have in that person. Ken from Lincoln Park, welcome to the Internet Advisor. What can we do for you?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a problem with my Yahoo mail service.
The Y-mail.
Yahoo Mail. Yahoo.com.
Yep.
When I go to my website, when I go to put my email address in, I put my password in, it tells me that they do not recognize my device. It says you're using a device, a browser you haven't previously used, and they want me to give them a telephone number or an alternate non-Yahoo email.
Yeah, email number. Mm-hmm. Email address, rather.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Has my computer been hacked, or is this something they do all the time?
You know, I haven't heard of this, but this happened just recently, and I'm trying to think of which email account it was. I think it was Hotmail, and so that's a Microsoft.
Yeah,
and what happened is that they basically threw up there and says, we don't have a mobile phone registered to you. Would you like, please register that, and then answer these secret questions and answers? This was about 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My Hotmail does that, and I opt out and say no.
Yeah, and the reason why they're doing that is I've had a Hotmail account or a Gmail account for so long that I never had to register those security special questions and answers.
It could be that they're adding a layer of security.
But just to be safe, you might want to try someone else's computer and log into you. Go to the library and try their computer and see if it challenges you. It's a completely different network.
Good.
You know it's virus-free because it's the library. And that way you can know it's legitimate.
Other Yahoo account. I can get on that Yahoo account. Now, my home computer, it does the same thing. My laptop, it does the same thing, but it comes off the same Comcast account.
Hmm. So I'll tell you what I did, and that is I gave him my cell phone.
Okay.
So because
I'm being hacked and there's somebody trying to get more information than they want.
They want is they want an opportunity that if you come back and say, my password, I can't remember my password.
Right.
Okay.
They will send you via
text
message to your cell phone a number.
Right.
And
okay.
Then they'll say, click on this link, and a box will appear, and it says, put in the number from your cell phone message that you just got.
Okay.
And then you put that number in, and it'll let you change your password.
So that's like an extra layer of security. I just had this happen with Gmail as well, that I had it. That's the Google Mail. I had that challenge come through. And it just simply gives them another way of making sure that it's you who is asking this.
That's right.
Not somebody else who's spoofing you, somebody who may have stolen the account.
And they want to change it, and that's exactly right. So they probably didn't steal the account and your cell phone and live to tell about it, right? This is a way for them to not have a person get involved. They're doing this automatically, and they're going to send it directly to your cell phone.
Okay, because my other email account at Yahoo, I can go straight to it without any problem.
You've probably given them some security questions in the past. And this one you just got by with because it's probably older, right?
Yes, it's one of my first email accounts.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's what happened.
That's what Ed was saying about the Hotmail.
It got away. You were in there long before they came up with these mechanisms to reset your password.
Yeah, grandfathered you in.
Because I think that's Yahoo Classic.
Okay.
Where do you have a problem with?
Okay, Ken.
Can I ask you one more question?
Yes, sure. Quickly. Yeah.
Do I have to accept this Outlook mail?
Oh, because the Hotmail is changing everyone to
automatically. I don't like Outlook. It's kind of unstable to me and...
Well, it's basically the same thing as Hotmail, only with a new interface.
So you'll still be able to log into Hotmail.com and access it with the legacy interface that you like, but you also have the option. You know, Microsoft's really pushing this Outlook look, and rightfully so.
Right. It's the Windows 8 kind of look.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the future.
It is the
Okay.
It's a clean. By the way, Ken, it's a clean look. I would just give it a little chance, but if you don't like it, it's quite all right.
Go to something else.
But I should let you know. Hotmail is making the change whether you like it or not.
Yeah, I heard that.
And you know, it's probably about time. That's a little long in the tooth.
Okay. All right, thank you, gentlemen. Have a good day.
You're Thanks very for calling welcome. Us. Good questions. 800-859-0WJR. That's 800-859-0957. We've still got about 30 minutes to answer your calls, so please feel free to give us a call on this. I know a lot of the email services out there, guys, are making these kinds of changes where they're adding extra information, layers of information to this. But can you explain to me today my Evernote account? And Evernote, maybe we'll explain that. It's a wonderful piece of software that I use on everything from my Windows phone to my my MacBook. Suddenly it said to me today that my password didn't work. So really? Immediately I went in and changed the password, because it gives you this thing where it says if you know something has happened, you can reset your password. So I went in, I used RoboForm, which is the one that I save all my passwords. Right. I used it to generate a random 8-character password, you know, one that I couldn't remember, but fortunately I was able to save, and then I started over with Evernote then. I made that my new password. So that way, if anybody had hacked it, they're gone. They can't get back in, because now the password's been changed with this new secure password.
Well, Evernote's always getting attacked.
Right. This is my first time around with it. Oh, yeah. Very first time around. Yeah, but man, it scared me because I got so much information in there.
I bet.
So much information. Wonderful piece of software. We may have be back to talk about that in a little bit. All right, come back in just a moment to talk with John from Wall Lake and you. Thank you for joining us for this Internet Advisor. We love doing this show live here at our flagship station, WJR, 760 AM in Detroit. But we are heard throughout this wonderful state of Michigan on a whole network of stations, and you'll find that listed at internetadvisor.net. So hello to the folks in Grand Rapids, Lansing, Saginaw, Kalamazoo, and Muskegon. We're delighted that you're part of our program family as well. And don't forget that you can get, if you're listening to us on the network and aren't able to call in directly, you can get your questions to us through the Contact Us form, which is on our homepage. Simply go to the top right, click on that, put an email address in there, and have fun with the CAPTCHA that's there. It's by the folks at Are You a Human? It's a little game you play. We had an email this week, by the way, Gary, from somebody who was thanking us for this little game that you play.
Yeah, it's so much better than CAPTCHA.
So much better.
Well, you know, I think we also ask for a phone number, and that's for when we're preempted.
Yes.
And we can sometimes we'll call back before the show and say, hey, can we call you on during the air?
So that's a great way of getting back in touch with you. Okay, so let's go to John in Walled Lake and see if we can help you. Welcome, John. How can we help you here at the Internet Advisor?
How are you, kid?
Thank you.
Good.
Hey, I'm wondering if you can help me out. I recently had my computer do a restart because Norton had updated the its program.
Yeah.
And it wanted it to restart. And it restarted, when it went into that mode, it won't restart. It's stuck in the Windows startup mode.
Okay, so you have kind of a loop of death there. Thoughts, guys? And this is Norton that you had updated, and that when after it says, okay, now you have to reboot your machine or restart your machine, you did that, and that's when it hung up, right?
What operating system is that?
Windows 7.
Windows 7. I would, obviously it was a corrupt update from Norton.
Yep.
And you want to kind of go back.
Or it was corrupted when it came in.
Correct.
It's not that Norton put out a corrupted one, but somehow it was corrupted when it was in
and the download.
What I would do is just try to go into, you can hit F8 on those keys, and you can go to the last configuration that worked, and a lot of times that will take care of that problem.
Ooh, you're talking about safe mode.
No. One of the options.
That's one of the options in safe mode. If you drop down.
That's right. But I mean, to get to that page, you have to boot up in safe mode.
No, you tap the F8. Mm-hmm. And then you have one of the options in there, safe mode or last known good configuration.
Correct.
You're confusing our audience.
While it's hung up?
No. Listen to our words.
You act like you're you act so, as if Ed, you're going
you,
in.
I'm particularly could you explain thick it at today.
Okay. Well, no, when you tap the F8 key, have you tried that? When you tap the F8 key, you can try to go into safe mode, but one of the other options is last known good config, as Shane said. So have you tried that option?
You know, I got so frustrated. I gave up trying a lot of things because I'm not, I know a little bit, but not enough to start those kind of things.
And
but I took it into a shop.
Yeah, and that's most of us.
Well, the key is then, let's try safe mode.
Well, you took it into a shop.
Oh, you did?
I took it to a local guy, and he wants to, he checked out all the hardware. He said the hardware is good.
Yep.
And he said the only way that he can do this is
to reformat the hard drive. You're breaking up, unfortunately.
Yeah, don't do that.
There's another option. We could try the F, like Shane said. The other thing is, if you know someone else that has Windows 7, you can create what's known as a Windows 7 system repair disk.
Right.
So you bring a blank CD to your friend's house. You go into Control Panel under Backup. There's a backup icon there. And then you can create a system repair disk. Then you could take that repair disk to your Windows 7 system. When you power up your computer, it'll boot up to this. It should boot
up
automatically.
Well, you put that
in the tray. In the
tray. And then close it and then reboot, right?
And then reboot. Most computers, modern computers, are configured to automatically search the CD-ROM drive first, or DVD.
Right.
And then Windows 7 system repair disk will come up. And one of the options in there is, would you like to perform a system restore? It's the Windows 7 system restore capability. And then you'll have the ability to go back a week or go back five days or 2 weeks.
Do that before you allow anybody to reformat your hard drive, okay?
And I like Shane's options of trying safe mode or try last known good config.
Okay, which will be one of the options that comes up when you hit safe mode.
Hit F8, right.
Okay?
Okay, so Windows System Restore.
Yes, Windows System Restore, and as we're saying here, you can get that by creating a System Restore disk.
A
System Repair disk, pardon me, on somebody else's computer since yours is tied up, and bring it back.
But try Shane's suggestion first, which is F8, and on boot up.
On boot up.
And then instead of going into safe mode, select the option that says last known
configuration at work.
Yeah. And then don't hang up because... Shane, are you writing something down there?
No. Okay. I'm just keeping notes of everyone so I know what I've answered and where I've got to go with everything.
All right, Ken, take a crack at those. John, pardon me. And let's see if we can get one of those to work for you. Let us know by getting in contact with us through our Contact Us form on our homepage. Or come back with us next week. Let's talk to George in Chesterfield. George, how can we help you?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hopefully you can give me some info, and maybe it's kind of out of the normal line. It isn't a problem to do with the hookups or programming. It has to do with, I want to call a service problem. My HP printer, which we had since 2010, it's a HP OfficeJet 6000, and it's been working fine. And the problem is when the black cartridge was empty, we installed a new cartridge. But it was a sealed package, and it was out of date, and we realized it. We bought it, and it expires on the warranty on July of 2012. But upon putting that new black, a genuine HP, too, this is not something that is a refill.
Okay.
It immediately would not work, and it would start to be erratic where it wouldn't print, and it looked like Morse code coming across the paper, and it was just all kinds of garbage there.
Sounds like the nozzle itself is screwed up on it. I'm going to guess that you got an accumulation on it. How old is the printer?
Well, we bought it in 2010. It's worked perfect.
Okay. Well, but I mean, within 2 years, you can have a lot of cruft that comes from the paper. The paper itself sloughs off. Stuff, and it can, I've had, at least in the print heads that I've had.
Well, he said it's a laser, so it doesn't use print heads.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I thought
it's an office jet.
It's an office jet.
6000. I
just bought this the 8600 office jet and just love it. You know, it's a new version. You know, they're not that expensive. You paid about $200 for yours.
The one that we're referring to.
Yes.
Would you believe this was a closeout at Office Max back in 2010? You're going to fall off your chair. It was $55. Mm-hmm.
You got a good deal. That's great.
I think I got my money out of it.
Yeah, you probably did.
You may have. So along those lines, I've seen some wonderful. I was just in the Micro Center the other day and saw some whole stack of Epson wireless printers that were going for $100. I think HPs.
So let me. HPs. Yeah, so we can help you justify, splurging on a new printer.
You don't
fix printers today.
Is that what you're going to say, Shane?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, George. Once an inkjet and. Starts dumping ink.
Yeah, that's what it's doing.
It's so hard to clean those out, and you're always going to have some streaking or something going wrong with it at that point.
Yeah.
Do you have a tablet?
You know, my wife's the expert on that. I'm not even clear what the tablet means.
Oh, like an iPad or something. Don't. Okay, I was just going to help you justify, because the new printers, you can take and be driving down the highway.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
Print.
Oh, I know what you mean,
e-print,
iPad.
Right?
No, yeah. I don't have that.
Well, yeah, now, by the way, if you buy one of those, and again, I saw it for $110,
yeah,
I think it was, a three-way HP
with
e-print.
Yep.
Which means that it's not just wireless. Anywhere you are, you can print to your
And then
printer.
When you get home, it's all printed.
Yep.
You don't have to remember, I wanted to print that.
I don't have a problem moving up to a new machine, but I just thought I'd ask that question. And there is a tremendous amount of black ink across that rail with the cartridge.
Yeah, it's
not
tough.
The cartridge, but what the carriage goes from left
exactly,
to right.
Exactly.
There's ink all over in there in the right-hand corner. And I said to my wife, looks like this thing blew up. A connecting rod, and the oil is coming right through the oil pan.
Yeah.
Which she understood, of course.
Yeah.
So would you say, based upon our conversation, don't even think about trying to repair it?
Oh, no.
Yeah. And my mystery is, why would it happen to do that the minute this new out-of-date cartridge got put in? Was that just a coincidence?
I am going to guess that it was a coincidence, that it may have been waiting to happen. It may have been that when you seated that thing, something wasn't seated quite properly, and
it probably had a. It may have been dried. Had a nice big thick.
Oh, cap dried of out. Ink, that's right. That's right.
And it recognized that it was dried out, and it went through cleaning process over cleaning process, and tried to remove that scab of ink off that.
Yeah.
And it may have damaged the ink. Tons of stuff that could have happened to that.
Yeah.
Stuff.
I mean, because one of the things it does to clean is it actually expels ink. When it's cleaning.
Yes,
that's right.
Exactly. So that's why he was saying it could have gone through a loop where it was just kind of dumping the ink.
And I know lots of people
that
have done this.
It reminded me of the flapper ball in the toilet. It wouldn't close.
Yeah, see, you know how this works.
And he speaks your language.
Yes, I understand him completely.
All right, take care, George. Thanks so much for calling. I think we just justified your moving up.
Yeah, go to ePrint if you haven't, or you're thinking
HP
of getting
with
a tablet.
On it. Yeah, or one of those. Nancy from White Lake, we'll be back to talk with you in just a moment here on the Internet Advisor. We're about to wrap things up here. I want to thank Scott Iometta. I got the name right this time. Annie Nichols, never forget that one. Our own Annie Oakley back there. She's the one who answers the phones, that sweet voice. And Rich Luzinski, who's in the lounge chair, I think, back there.
The one with the flip-flops.
He's supervising.
Flip-flops and a Hawaiian shirt. Yep.
Thanks, guys, for making this program work behind the scenes. And for all of you who enjoyed this program, thank you. This is our 16th year that we've waded into now, Gary and I, and it's been a ball. Hey, guys, before we get to our next callers, just kind of quickly, this last week in working on two Windows 8 laptops that I was trying to tune up for the people, they had the new computers they got, I ran into a problem, and I don't know if you guys have run into as well. For some reason, and these are two different machines. One was an HP. I forget what the other one was. Both of them came bundled with McAfee security.
Hmm.
And to me, that is nuts. Because the Windows Defender that comes with Windows 8 is enough. And the only thing I can think of is, and we ran into this before, that the OEMs, the original equipped manufacturers, are able to reduce the prices of their machines because they allow this stuff to be put on. But folks, I would personally get rid of that McAfee immediately. And for me, it was, I was working on the machine, and all of a sudden I heard the fans go on. I don't have any programs running there. What in the world's making the fans run? Heating it up, in other words.
Yeah. Right.
I look back, and if you use Task Manager, here was McAfee just sucking up the CPUs. Mm. So I stripped it out of there, and you can be just happy with the Windows Defender that's on there right now.
Which is ironic, because Intel sucked up McAfee last year,
yeah.
And here's McAfee sucking up all the Intel CPU processing time.
That is indeed ironic. Let's go to Nancy from White Lake. Nancy, how can we help you here on the Internet Advisor?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
When I log on my PC now, Internet Explorer,
mm-hmm.
I used to be able to go right into MSN.com.
Uh-huh.
Now it shows it shows that address in the toolbar, but it's just a whole whiteout page. It won't, go there. And then at the top in the toolbar, at the end of that MSN.com,
mm-hmm.
it says, it has a little green arrow, and it says, it says this rapport, let me see, protected site. Press Alt plus R to open rapport real time console.
Oh, no, 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 no. Don't do that.
Well, I'm not sure what that is. I haven't heard of that
before. Rapport? I will look it up while you guys talk about it. Rapport real-time console?
Yeah, in my, it says,
sounds like a hijack.
Trusteer protects your interaction with this website and protects your computer against malware.
Yeah, that's rubbish. Yeah, you've been hit by, I think it's a, it sounds like a malware.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely sounds like a malware. Now, have you tried, do you have like Google Chrome on your desktop or something?
Yes, I do.
Have you tried
it? If I go to Google Chrome and I type in msn.com, yeah, mm-hmm. I can get there.
Okay, so what I would do is just, you know, you may have some malware. You know, get a good malware, you know, malware bytes, get something like that and do a quick clean. But then also reset your Explorer settings in the Options tab.
So how do they do that?
How do I do that?
You're going to Tools. Go ahead. No, that's fine.
Let me follow with you, what you're saying.
Yeah, you're going to go to the Tools up there, and you're going to go down to Options. And the very far right tab, I don't remember the name off the top of my head.
Advanced. Advanced. Wait a minute.
So you were with an Internet Explorer. Yes. Yep. Select Tools. You should have Tools somewhere on the menu.
Should I open up the Chrome?
No, this is within Internet Explorer.
Well, I got to get there.
Yes.
Because it just does a white-out screen that way.
Okay, well, you can also go into Control Panel underneath Internet Options.
Okay, Control Panel.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Internet options, yep.
There you go.
Change your home page. Manage browser add-ons.
You want to go to the Advanced tab.
Click the Advanced tab.
It's way over to the right.
Last one across the top.
So you have General, Security, Privacy, Content.
Okay, yep. Advanced. You mind if we click on that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then you're going to see a button there. You're going to see a bunch of checkboxes. At the very bottom of that button it says Reset. Restore Advanced Settings. You see that?
At the bottom.
It's kind of like three-quarters of the way down. It says Restore Advanced Settings.
You don't have to use the scroll bar.
Yeah.
It's right on.
You don't have to.
No,
it's right on the advanced page itself.
Yep.
Halfway, three-quarters of the way down, two-thirds of the
way
down.
And your browse, here's the categories, accessibility.
No, you're not in that area.
Go below that box.
Oh, below it. Restore it. I got it. Yep.
Just go ahead and click on that.
Okay.
And then you're probably going to have to hit the apply button, I would imagine, or hit okay. Yep. And then once that's all done and the hourglass is done, it's done its job, then just hit the reset button as well. There's a reset button right below that.
Okay, I'm going to hit it now because there's no timer going.
Okay, then you're all set.
Are you sure want to reset all Internet Explorer settings?
That's fine. Okay. Yeah.
Say reset.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's doing it.
Yeah, it'll
get it off.
Okay.
Yep. And when this is done, you're probably going to want to go to the General tab, and you'll probably want to set your home page back up to be www.msn.com. But one of the things we want you to do is go to the Internet Explorer or InternetAdvisor.net website. Go to the toolkit on the website. You can use Chrome for this or Internet Explorer. And you want to download or find Malware Bytes. It's underneath the anti-spyware options. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have the ability to download Internet or Malware Bytes.
And one last thing, instead of msn.com, you may want to personalize it, and then you can use mymy.msn.com.
Okay,
so it'll be personalized for you.
And let me just tell you quickly, if you didn't catch all of this, Nancy, what'll happen is on Sunday night I will post the podcast, and you can go back and listen to all these instructions and follow them a little more carefully, because it's a little hard to do. And we want to make sure we get to Jim from Westland as well, because we're very close to the end of the show. Jim, hi, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm going to try to be quick for you.
No, we're fine.
Number one, Skype in America has shut off share screen. For a company that is incorporated in America, leaves it open for the European countries on the free version and shuts it off here. That really burned me on Microsoft.
Back up a second. You're saying that Skype is not free?
No, I'm saying that the free version used to give you share screen. 2 days ago, they shut off share screen for America and still left it open overseas. That's what I'm saying.
They're remote.
I didn't realize they shut it off.
Everyone knows that we're going to pay. We'll pay all the prescription cost. We'll pay for, you know, for the world, and we'll do the same thing with Skype, too.
Well, because I use Office 365, I get Skype with that.
Yeah. But would you tell me what the share screen thing is? I don't know. I'm not sure I understand.
Share screen means if I'm on my computer and I want to teach you something, whatever I do on my computer, you see what I'm doing on my screen. That's what share screen does.
Yes, I have used that before, but with another piece of software. I didn't know that Skype did that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
well,
Skype
not anymore.
So does Ubu if you pay for a subscription to Ubu.
That's right. Okay, now, does this happen if you're paying the premium? Used to be the premium.
No, if you pay the premium, no, I'm running the free version now. And they just shut it off 2 days ago.
But the premium account, I think, for what used to be called Hotmail was like $20, I think, a year. I think it was like that.
I think the Skype one is $30 a year, but if I have enough people that want me to share my screen, it's worth the $30. Now, my next question is, which is better, Microsoft Essentials or Defender? Because my trend runs out in the middle of March. And I'm really happy with the last 6 years.
What is your operating system?
Oh, I'm running XP on my PC.
You can't use Essentials very well.
No, the Essentials won't work really well on that. If you're working on Windows...
Trend does.
Trend will. Yes, you're right.
But Microsoft Essentials doesn't work on XP as well as Windows 7.
Ed has also put up links to Avast, which is another very good one.
Or
AVG. And you can go to internetadvisor.net in our toolkit. And you can download one of those. Don't put more than one on at a time.
No, you mentioned malware. On Trend, I don't run malware, and I still haven't been hit by anything that I had to get rid of without you.
But what we're saying
is just Trend and CCleaner.
Okay, good. Those are two good things to use. Thanks so much for being with us, folks. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisors Show, the longest-running, locally produced computer show in Detroit radio. If you'd like to find out more about our weekly show, ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit internetadvisor.net. And you'll also find us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.